This is another one of those Sundays that the church breaks from its normal cycle of readings. As you know, we should be hearing from the Gospel of Luke throughout this year. But every year, on the Sunday after Easter, the church chooses to read this passage from the Gospel of St. John. What is it that the church wants to convey to us by repeating this gospel story year after year? There are two things that seem to stand out in this reading. The first of those is the focus on the mercy of God. So much so that Pope John Paul II declared that every year this be called Divine Mercy Sunday. A Sunday in which we focus on the reality of the depths of God's mercy for us. We see that in the gospel reading by immediately after the greeting, Jesus says to those early disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he continued, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Jesus is sending out those early disciples to be ambassadors of the mercy of God. He is sending them out to declare to all the world that God is a God of mercy. That God is a God who wants to forgive us our sins, to heal us of our wickedness, to bring us the gift of life. Now, some may say, "Well, I don't need God's mercy. I don't have any sins." Well, if you believe that, then it's important to go to the first letter of John, where John says, "The one who says I am without sin is a liar." The reality is that we have all fallen short. We are all plagued by things like selfishness, like pride. We all find ourselves doing things that offend the people around us. We're not the spouses, the parents, the children that God has called us to be. At times we judge one another, we criticize one another. At times we give in to the disordered desires of our lives. The reality is we all need the mercy of God. And this Sunday is meant to proclaim to us that no matter what we have done, where we have been, how we have offended, God is merciful. God wants to bring us not judgment, not condemnation, but mercy. There probably have been times in our church when we've been a little reluctant to proclaim too much the mercy of God. When some have thought, and I probably have done that too, if we focus too much on God's mercy, people are just going to keep sinning and say, "Oh, well, God will forgive." And yet the reality is that God wants us to obey him not out of fear. What God does want of us is that we come to an awareness of the richness, the depth of his mercy. And then out of gratitude and out of love, we strive to live lives the way God wants us to live them. Like any parent, God does not want our obedience because we fear punishment. God wants our obedience because we have seen his love for us and we grow to love him in return, to be grateful for all the gifts that our God has given us. We see this mercy at work in the story of Thomas in the second part of our reading today. Jesus does not condemn him for his doubt, for his unbelief. He merely leads him to come to belief. And he asks him to trust in his love, to trust in his mercy. That's why I wanted to put this picture here today. It is called the Divine Mercy picture. The story behind it is a Polish nun right before World War II, an uneducated woman. But she began to have visions of Christ, conversations with Christ. And at one point, he asked that she would have this picture painted. And he wanted the rays on the picture coming from his heart to depict rays of divine mercy. And then notice the words. I doubt if you can read them from where you are. But on the picture it says, "Jesus, I trust in you." Saint Faustina was her name. And she asked that, or she said that Jesus asked that the mercy of the Savior be proclaimed to all the world, and that we be invited, we be challenged to trust in his mercy. The other part of the message today, out of that reading, is that message of trust. We are asked, like Thomas, to come to trust and God's love for us, God's care for us. Now, that belief or that trust is not just something up here in our minds. When it is real and authentic, it is something that begins to affect every moment of our lives. In fact, there is no faith until that faith leads me to live in a different way. It is seen in my actions, in the way I am generous, the way I am compassionate, the way I am caring, the way I am patient. When our trust in the Lord is real and genuine, it begins to change the way we live. And that is the invitation that Jesus gives to us. Can we trust so much in his love? So much in his mercy that our lives begin to reflect that love and that mercy to the world around us. Having known the love and the mercy of our God, can you and I live in new ways? Can we, in fact, become witnesses of the love and mercy of Christ to the world in which we live?